Good morning. It's time to get up with a knockout punch from Steph Curry and the Warriors. Are they now the favorites to win it all? Plus, from up 3-0 to 3-0, no. Are we witnessing the worst collapse in playoff history? Could the Sixers possibly lose again tonight? And it's draft day. Is this the day these two stars will finally be traded? And hot off the presses, Mel Kiper's latest and final mock draft. And this is the scene in Las Vegas, the NFL draft now. Just 12 hours away. It's all quiet. It's quiet in Vegas, really? Jaguars are on the clock. Greeny is there. He'll be leading our coverage tonight right here on ESPN. And with that, good morning. I'm Kevin Negandhi. So glad to see you.
Hi, I'm Elle Duncan. Normally, we're, of course,
you
working together
met?
At 6 p.m.
Hey,
I know. Nice to meet
to
you,
see
buddy.
You.
He looks very different in the morning. His eyes have a little sparkle to them. We certainly have a ton of football that we're going to get to because that's why these guys are here. Dan Graziano, Jeff Saturday. We're also joined by Tim Hasselbeck. He'll be joining us as well. And we're going to talk some hoops with my girl, Monica McNutt and Alan Hahn. Hey, girl, look up. There you go. We're going to start right there as we have finally punched a ticket. Nuggets, Warriors, Steph Curry making his first start since March 16th, no longer on a minutes restriction as they had a closeout opportunity last night and early on. Steph doing Steph things. He's been doing this off the bench, too. Into the second, it's the Nuggets down three, but Nikola Jokic, a one-man band off the Jeff Green miss. He's there to clean it up. 12 points, 12 rebounds, 5 assists in the first half, and we're tied at 48 at the break. But Denver came out swinging. They made 7 of their first 10 field goals to open the second half. You see Jokic here with the tough runner. The Nuggets up 8. After the play, he's grimacing a little bit. That wouldn't be a factor. He'd stay in the game. You know who was a factor? Steph. Third quarter, he is rolling. Cuts it to 4. Next Warriors possession. Gary Payton Jr. said, I'm a witness. Just get him the ball and watch him cook. Back-to-back threes. Fourth quarter we go. Nikola Jokic had 12 points in the final. 3 minutes and 46 seconds. 30 points on the night. Just over a minute 30 remaining. No matter what Jokic was able to do, Steph just did more. Here the finger roll drops. He's fired up. Golden State takes a 4-point lead. And after that, it's Curry evading the trap and doing what he did. He said he was just so excited to have the opportunity to be in a big game again. It's been 3 years. He wanted to know that they could still do it, and do it they did as they move on after beating those Nuggets in 5. Here's Steph.
You don't ever take it for granted. You understand them being on this stage. We understand we hopefully have a lot left to do, but you know, getting through a series and winning 4 games against a good team, like it's hard. You know, for me, Draymond, Clay, Loon, like we've all been there before and love that feeling, love that competition and the environment. Tonight was just a weird feeling because we hadn't been there in a while, and it was like we wanted it so bad, kind of made it a lot more difficult on ourselves. So, but we still remember how to do it, which is a good feeling.
Was there ever any doubt? Last night was Steph's 11th career 30-point game in a series clinching win that ties him with Larry Bird for 4th most all time. The only players that have more: Michael Jordan, LeBron James, and Kobe Bryant. And with that, we bring in Monica McNutt and Alan Hahn. I'm going to start right there with you, Monica. What did the Warriors show you in this series with the Nugs?
Man, it definitely looks like the Warriors are poised to run it back, although they haven't been there in a while. But I thought the way that they responded to the Nuggets' push, particularly in the second half and in the fourth quarter, spoke volumes. It's fine when the Warriors get out to big leads and their threes are falling and they're in ocean mode, but I think to be in a close ball game and to respond, yes, a lot of that was centered around Steph, who scored 11 of his 30 in the fourth quarter. But as a team, to be able to respond was very, very impressive to me. Now, my one cautionary piece, although they're not going to run into another Jokic per se, is size inside in terms of a team looking for a place to take advantage of them. But on offense, they responded the way that champions would last night.
Yeah, Alan, I mean, I do want to play devil's advocate a little bit here and say we're talking about a Nuggets team that like only had Nikola Jokic, which is something, but they don't have Jamal Murray, they don't have Michael Porter Jr. Are you still as impressed considering the opponent and the situation that they were in?
I am because of what was said during the series and after the series. Elle, when you hear what Steph Curry just said there about how it was great to be back in a situation where you had a closeout game. You know, this is 19 of 21 series now that they have won since 2015. This group, this core has a lot of winning. And I'm going to use a phrase that Chris Canty, my good friend on the NFL side, always uses. Confidence comes from demonstrated performance. This core has demonstrated that performance before. They can win a championship. They've done it three times, this core has. It's a different looking team, but they look like a team that is ready now to make that run and go for a second, perhaps, dynasty, and it starts right here.
Yeah, Caesars has them as the favorite right now to win the championship. Who's their biggest threat to doing that, Monica?
Ooh, it's an healthy Suns roster, L. However, we got to see what Devin Booker looks like when he makes his return. And I will just pump the brakes a tad. I think if the Memphis Grizzlies can get out of this very tough series with the Minnesota Timberwolves, that to me is my favorite budding rivalry. And when I go down the roster, Alejandro, you know I love me some Memphis Grizzlies. There's athleticism. There's quickness.
Oh, here we go.
There's a willingness to defend that I think could be interesting in the series. I'm just saying.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey, this is you again. This is you. You're riding. You're driving the bus already from Memphis. I know this has been you for a couple of years. You're waiting on it. Look at that series. Minnesota should be leading that series, Monica. You know that.
But they're
that's
not.
Why when I watch the Grizzlies, I need to see more from them. I need to see. Look, they are still learning how to win. This Warriors core. They've won, and they're adding pieces. They have a younger team. They're a little bit faster. They have depth. Jordan Poole, who has an answer for a guy off the bench? If Jordan Poole comes off the bench, when they go with that death point 2.0 matchup, they're fantastic. We don't even talk about how Klay Thompson, oh, by the way, is back to shooting over 40% from three, averaging over 20 a game. Draymond Green can guard anybody that you throw at him on the floor. They are healthy, and they have not been healthy like this since they last won a championship. Keep that in mind.
I'm just saying, also keep in mind, the Grizzlies did have the second most wins in the regular season, right? Only behind those aforementioned Suns. Like, they also have really good defense. They've got some depth. They've got Ja Morant. I'm just saying it's not inconceivable, Alan Hahn. I'm riding with my girl Monica on this one. Meanwhile, I don't know where Kevin is riding when it comes to his Sixers.
Oh,
I just
no.
know wherever it is, it's spiraling.
Yes, it is. The Warriors close out. The Bucks close out. I can't believe we're still talking about this series as the Sixers are now in danger of a historic playoff collapse. Joel Embiid's overtime winner in game three. Philly was up 3-0, but Toronto's won the last two. And following that loss, Embiid said that teammate James Harden needs to be aggressive and be himself. He added it's not really his job. It's probably on the coach. Speaking of that coach, Doc Rivers, he's lost 7 of his last 8 chances to close out a series. His 31 losses with a chance to clinch a series, most by a coach in NBA history. Doc getting defensive?
Well, it's easy to use me as an example, but I wish y'all would tell the whole story with me, all right? My Orlando team is the 8th seed. No one gives me credit for getting up against the Pistons who won the title. The Clipper team that we lost 3-1. Chris Paul didn't play in the first 2 games and was playing on one leg. And then the last one, to me, is the one we blew. That's the one I said, we blew that. I would say with me, some of them is I got to do better always. Always take my own responsibility. And then some of it is circumstances happen. You know, this one, let's win it, and we don't have to talk about it.
Let's bring back Monica and Alan. Hopefully you guys can talk me off the ledge. Monica, on a scale of 1 to 10, what is your level of concern here for the Sixers entering Game 6 tonight in Toronto?
Nagandi, my friend, my level of concern is an 8. Han, wait a minute. My concern level is at an 8. And it honestly has less to do with Doc Rivers and more to do with his players. Now, I don't mind that sound from Doc Rivers. It's honest. I think that he mentioned that Orlando team. That was very impressive. However, it's a results-driven industry. And the recollection that most of us have is the last time that happened to him. Now, when it comes to his personnel in this particular matchup, if Joel Embiid doesn't have 35 and 12, they will not win game 6. Like, he just cannot rely on anybody else. even when they were hot and we were asking if we were concerned about James Harden because Tyrese Maxey was emerging at the second score. Alan, I thought that as long as Joel Embiid was putting up MVP numbers and he got help from somewhere, they would be okay. But if he has anything less than 30 and 12, it's a problem. It's a problem.
You got to also look at the other side of the court, too, and defense. Look, I'll use the phrase again. Confidence comes from demonstrated performance, and it also works here with the Sixers. Now, first and foremost, spare me the slander of Doc Rivers. This is a guy that won a championship and in a five-year span, a title, a finals appearance, and an Eastern Conference finals appearance as well, while the Miami Heat were the big three there. So he can coach and he can win, and he's done it. But the demonstrated performance does include this. This is how you get an 0-3 meltdown. This is the recipe for disaster, Kevin, and I'm sorry, but this is the reality I'm giving you right now. Hold your nose. Here comes the cold water. Injury to a star player. You got that. Mm-hmm. You got disconnect with your main players in the locker room. Joel Embiid, I don't have to tell him to shoot more. That's up to the coach. There's a disconnect. There's also the history of falling short. The shot by Kawhi in the playoffs a couple of years ago by the Raptors. And then, of course, you can't beat the Atlanta Hawks. You got a guy on your team that didn't want to dunk the basketball, all those problems. So because of that, getting over the hump, those three items right there, that suggests a recipe. But I'm not putting this on Doc Rivers, although it will certainly.
Alan,
the sword of Damocles is hanging over his head, no doubt.
How much did L pay you to mention the Hawks this morning winning last year against the Sixers? Honestly, like how much? Because now I'm going to do that for the next 120 minutes. Like nonstop.
Look behind me. Look behind me. Do you see Nick's references? You think I want to talk nice about the Atlanta Hawks? You're crazy.
Let's get the one thing. And Monica, I wanted you to jump in here because, listen, it's not just about Embiid, and the defense was awful, especially in the first half of Game 5 here. How are the Raptors neutralizing James Harden? Because he does not look like the James Harden that we saw in Brooklyn, and let alone the idea of James Harden in Houston.
On another show, Kevin, we'll all have a fireside chat and honestly be honest about the version of James Harden we've seen for a couple years now since Houston. But anyway, in this particular series, it's the length and the switching ability of the Toronto Raptors. Nick Nurse is a fantastic coach. And in the last game, while most folks thought, oh, Fred VanVleet is out, Philly should take care of that, it was actually the size that was an additional factor that James Harden and his teammates had to hurdle because of the length in which they were able to switch, similar to what the Boston Celtics were able to do. Beyond that, the Raptors were able to outscore the Sixers in the paint, and a lot of that was transition. They were getting good looks. The confidence starts to snowball, and you could just see it.
It's about adjustments. We've seen Nick Nurse make those adjustments the last three games. Will Doc do it tonight? And, Alan, did she at least give you $100? That's what I want to know. Like, Elle, let's go to you. All right.
No, I almost threw up in my mouth just talking nice again about the Atlanta Hawks. But reality is reality, unfortunately.
Okay, cut it out.
And
you know what? Monica? Honestly, if the Sixers lose tonight, you don't need a fireside chat, Monica. Kevin's going to need a couch for therapy, okay?
Tomorrow morning.
He's defeated and done. All right.
Kev is broken.
He's a broken man. You know who else probably needs a little bit of therapy? Debo and the Niners. As we get ready for tonight's draft, we're just under 12 hours away. And we are expecting maybe there will be something that will happen with Debo Samuel. We'll see. They're not scheduled, the Niners, to make a first-round pick this year or next year because of that Trey Lance trade to snag their quarterback just last year. We, of course, remember that Debo Samuel told our Jeff Darlington on the record he wanted a trade from the Niners. Meanwhile, yesterday he was on Twitter saying, Too real to entertain half the stuff y'all be saying, but it do be funny, though. Everybody want their voice to be heard about a situation they know nothing about and just be saying whatever the next person said. Also, have a blessed day. Okay.
Have a blessed day.
Have a blessed day. Jeff Saturday, Dan Graziano, Tim Hasselbeck back with us as well.
With all due respect.
Jeff, what do you think? I want you to just translate here what you think Debo's trying to say in that tweet.
I got no clue. Not even a little bit. Not even a little. Obviously, he's upset. We're saying something, on this show and I guess a number of different outlets that he doesn't agree with or we're taking. I do know that Jeff Darlington said he wants out of San Francisco.
Well, he told Jeff.
So I'm just kind of going with from that perspective. But when you think about Debo Samuel, this guy is the 49ers offense. So it is a big story. We're going to discuss it. When you say you want to leave a team and everybody understands how valuable you are to that team, we're going to talk about it. Just part of the job.
And I'm going to make Dan Graziano, as it's part of his job, tell us what's the latest on any potential trades or dealings that might happen surrounding Debo.
Yeah, look, I mean, teams are calling the 49ers. Sure. This news breaks, and if you're a team that needs receivers, and there's a lot of them, you're going to make a call. But the Niners really don't want to do it. The GM, John Lynch, made that clear in his news conference the other day. There are people there that still think the relationship can be salvaged. And if you are going to get Debo Samuel from the 49ers, it's going to cost you. L, you mentioned that they don't have a first-round pick this year or next year. They would love to change that. And if you could offer them one or both of those things, you could probably get their attention. My sense of this is it's too early for something to happen today, barring some drastic offer that no team has yet made. But, you know, if Debo continues to push it as they get closer to the season, to training camp, and depending how the 49ers come out of the second, third round of this year's draft, maybe they find a receiver they like. So it's possible it happens, but I don't get the sense it's about to happen.
We know that the folks at home always hear us talk about Debo, how unique he is. He's a unicorn, himbo, fan favorite. I had him pull this number for me just to illustrate it for the folks at home. Debo led the NFL in yards per catch last year, but he was 65th in depth of target, meaning once he gets the ball, he's the best in the NFL, right, with the ball in his hands. Tim, how do you even conceive trading that away if you're the Niners?
You don't, L. You know, and I think that, you know, Jeff talked about, like, he's their offense. Look, you don't want good players that you've drafted that are young and, you know, have been healthy for the most part. You don't let them out of your building. And so I get it how, you know, Debo's looking around and he's, you know, feels great about how productive he's been and he wants a new contract. But he's under contract this year. They could always franchise him next year. And so I just think it's kind of too early for Debo to kind of, you know, throw his hands up and say, hey, you know, like, let me break the, you know, the wide receiver market open even more. So, look, I think ultimately something gets done. I think it takes some time. I don't think it's necessarily on Debo's timeline because the team's timeline is a little bit different with the franchise tag and option after this upcoming season.
Jeff Saturday is respectfully nodding his head no to everything Tim said.
With all due respect, I'll put a tweet out in a minute, but with all due respect, Tim, I disagree. Here's why I disagree. When you're talking about the playmaker that Debo is, he is a unicorn. I mean, and to your point, Ellen, you talked about what Himbo said. This guy is their offense. When their running backs get hurt, he goes to the backfield. When they need a big play on the outside, they feed him the ball. He can hold in. I'm using a Mike Tannenbaum. Not hold out, hold in. That means he shows up at the complex, but he just doesn't do the things that you expect him to do. He's still going to get paid. You have to pay him this year and to his point if you're going to franchise him. I think the bottom line is we all agree he needs to get a contract. Like, do the contract, whatever you are for the 49ers, let's get him paid. He's seeing all these receivers get paid, and he's hearing about how all these receivers are coming into the draft, how deep the draft is, how great these receivers are, and he's going, wait a minute, I'm balling. But let's not forget, it's taken him 3 years to get here. So to Dan's point about drafting a guy in the second or third round, this won't happen right now. San Francisco's in a let's go win with a new quarterback. So what's the quarterback's best friend to be able to turn around and hand it off or get it to playmakers? If they want Trey Lance to succeed, they'll get Debo back in the building and performing.
I do think there's a point, though, where San Francisco will say, look, I mean, we're willing to pay you, but not necessarily what you want. Because I mean, look at these highlights. The holes are huge. He's wide open. Like, San Francisco feels like they, exactly. San Francisco feels like they can get guys open. So I think they're willing to pay him, but it may not be all that he's looking
mil
for.
Or 24
it's the Shanahan way. His dad did it as well. Anybody's going to be able to run or get it off in this offense, and so we don't think much of the name, although Debo Samuel still accounts for most of their offense, to your point. All right, let's get it to Kevin.
Well, it is draft day, and hot off the presses, Mel Kiper Jr.'s final mock draft release moments ago on ESPN.com. At number one, he has the Jaguars going with the defensive end, but it's from Georgia. Trayvon Walker leaving and the Lions that take the hometown kid Aiden Hutchinson at second overall. Both of the New York teams have multiple picks in the top 10. Mel has the Jets going with Sauce Gardner, the cornerback, and wide receiver Drake London, while the Giants address their needs up front by taking offensive tackle Charles Cross and defensive end Jermaine Johnson. And on draft day, let's make some quarterbacks happy.
Whoa.
All right. Jeff, let's start with you. What would make Dak Prescott happy tonight
with the Cowboys draft.
That O-line, Kev, listen, they've lost two starters, Connor Williams, Lael Collins. They need to go find a guy there, whether it's Kenyon Green from A&M, could be Linderbaum from Iowa, could be Tyler Smith from Tulsa, but go find a guy like Zion Johnson from Boston College, somebody who can play multiple positions so when guys go down, they can bounce and move around. They have to get more physical up front because at the end of last year, that's what cost them offensively.
All right, Tim, the Packers got two first-rounders. What would make Aaron Rodgers happy tonight?
Well, the first thing that would make Aaron happy is if they actually talk to him. Just let him know what's going on. Like, just have him be part of the conversation. You know, high-maintenance guys like Aaron and Jeff Saturday, they need to feel like they belong in the conversation. Like, here's how about a first-round wide receiver? I mean, get him some help. You traded Devontae Adams. I think there's elements of why that can help your team in the long run. But replace him with somebody that's not going to be as good, but somebody that can be a star player in the National Football League. Draft a wide receiver in the first round. Get Aaron what he's been asking for.
Did you say wide receiver? Graz, the Chiefs have two late first-round picks. What would make Patrick Mahomes happy?
Yeah, wide receiver. Jameson Williams from Alabama would be perfect, right? This is a guy that tore his ACL in the national championship game. He's supposed to be ready at some point this season. Not sure if it'll be right away, but the Chiefs can wait. And ultimately, this is a high-end speed guy, playmaker type that could maybe help them at least partially replace Tyreek Hill.
Ella, it wouldn't be fair. It would not be fair if the Chiefs move up and get Jameson Williams, especially what he could do down the field and stretching things. Back to you.
All right, coming up on Get Up, is this the day the Baker Mayfield saga will finally end in Cleveland? Please God, where could he go, and is he better than any of the other quarterbacks in this draft? And back to the NBA, don't forget about the champs. Giannis looking as dominant as ever. Could the Bucks go back to back? We're just getting up, so stick around with us. Kevin and Elle back with you on Get Up. Unbeatable plays brought to you by Xfinity. Steph Curry back in the starting lineup versus the Nuggets for the first time since suffering that foot injury last month. And, well, he was Steph, Kevin.
I mean, off the bench, he drops 30. As a starter, he drops 30. 11 of his 30 points coming in the fourth quarter to close out the series. Golden State will now take on the Grizzlies or the Timberwolves in round two.
Are we going to show where he says go to bed? Go to sleep.
Wake up, because coming up, the Celtics, they made Kevin Durant's life miserable. Can they do the same thing to Giannis and the Bucks? We're talking about that ahead. Plus, we have large men driving other large men into the ground. Breakfast time. Jeff Saturday handing out special draft day pancakes. Can't wait. Next.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Back here on Get Up, L. Duncan, Kevin Nagani back with you. Closeout game here for the Bucks taking on the Bulls. Game 5, Bucks up 3-1 in the series. Bobby Portis with the miss. Giannis, think again. How about 16 points in the paint in the first half? I mean, all this talk about losing Chris Middleton. after game two. Well, everybody's stepping up and then led by the train that is Giannis in the lane. My goodness, they were up by 16 after one. Early in the second quarter, Giannis in the paint, three defenders. What are you going to do? What? You can't stop it. 23 points in the first half, the most points in the first half in his playoff career. They're up by 18 at the break, under two to play in the quarter. Giannis floating. Average in the series, 29 points, 13 rebounds, six dimes, shot 57% from the floor, finished with 33 points. And the Bucks, gentlemen sweep, four games to one, 116 to 100. According to Caesars Sportsbook, the defending champs have the third shortest odds to come out of the East. The Celtics are currently the favorites to win the conference, while the Heat are just ahead of the Bucks. Alan Hahn, Monica McNutt, back with us here. So, Monica, when you look at this matchup, because up next here for the Bucks, those Celtics, what is the single biggest factor you're looking forward to watching in that series?
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
I cannot wait to see how Ime Udoka and company game plan defensively for Giannis. Now, bear in mind, Kevin, the Nets relied so heavily on iso ball that it played perfectly into what the Celtics wanted to do in terms of their athletes and their scheme. The Bucks don't rely on iso as much. In fact, Giannis has gotten about 20% of his points that he scored versus the Celtics in transition, and it is so hard to guard in transition with a guy like Giannis, who you mentioned is a train coming down the lane, right? And so I'm curious to see, will they try to make this series physical with the bumps we saw them use against Kevin Durant? And then what will Giannis's response to that be? He has a much more complete supporting cast than Kevin Durant had. So I cannot wait to see this defensive X's and O's in this one.
Alan, that supporting cast, they've been fantastic. I do want to hear your thoughts here with the guys around Giannis in helping him, especially with Middleton still out. Looks like they're going to reevaluate the situation next Wednesday. So it looks like he'll miss at least the first two games with this sprained MCL.
Yeah, and game seven of this series, I believe, is May 15th. So there is a lot of time for him to get back if he can. But listen, the Bucks are 5-0 this season without one of their big three, including Drew Holiday. So they are learning and have learned to play without their main guys. But it's still, you're certainly going to miss Chris Middleton. But what you have now are guys like Pat Connaughton, like Grayson Allen, who are knocking down those open shots. You have Bobby Portis, even with the glasses on, the bifocals, Bobby knocking down threes as well as a stretch guy. That's also important. Brooke Lopez and that matchup is going to be big as well. But the factor you have to watch in this series is a player that the Celtics brought back into the fold, and that's Al Horford. Al Horford was used in the past when Brad Stevens was coach as a bit of a Giannis stopper. And that is something to watch here as well. Do they employ that same defense? Because watch how that goes. You know what else watching this series, Monica? When does Grayson Allen do something to get the Boston crowd against him? And if it's against Peyton Pritchard, he might not get out of the building. But you know that's coming in this series.
It is definitely inevitable.
Yeah, I'm predicting game two, a tangle up with Marcus Smart in the Garden, a shades of Danny Ainge on the other side here because he fits that mold. And let's talk about the star for the Celtics, Monica. What are the expectations here for Jason Tatum, especially after we saw that emotional series sweep against KD and the Nets?
Well, you can imagine that Jason Tatum probably will be heavily guarded by Drew Holiday, who's the Bucks' best on-ball defender. And so he's going to have an opportunity to sort of continue to ascend in the conversation of the greats currently in the league. I thought through that series, and I'm almost willing to say through the playoffs, as far as a two-way guy, Jason Tatum have provided the most complete performance on both sides of the basketball. And so he's going to be called on heavily to navigate guarding Giannis Antetokounmpo on the other side, because that's going to be a collaborative effort indeed.
Okay, guys, let's play a game of either or as we look ahead to tonight. I know you guys have been waiting here. Monica, who wins, the Sixers or the Raptors in game six?
Ooh, Nagandi, I am going with the Sixers in game, or excuse me, the Raptors.
Oh,
I'm
sorry.
Wait,
oh,
wait.
Crazy, Monica.
Wait.
Oh, my God.
I think the Raptors are rolling.
Soul, Monica.
It's just bad. It's just bad on your end. Sorry.
Oh, no.
How do you do that?
Alan, can you help guys? How do you do that,
really,
my guy? You know he's on the edge.
I mean, I don't know how
it's
you.
It's early, my bad.
Flip-flopping like that.
All right,
that
Alan.
That's a Jeff Saturday pancake
yes,
by Monica right there.
You're going to peel me off the floor. Suns or Pelicans, Alan, who you got?
I'm going to go with the Suns, and this is the reason why you get Devin Booker back. First of all, stop the presses. A guy who's hurt is actually going to play in the playoffs for his team. That's nice to see. But also the fact that when he's in the lineup, they have the number one offensive rating team in the league. When he's out of the lineup, it's 27. He makes a difference. We overlook him as a superstar in this game. He makes an impact.
Monica, who you got here? Mavericks closing it out against the Jazz?
All right, let me check my notes so I make sure I don't stick my foot in my mouth. I have the Mavs getting this one done. The Mavs, people, out of Dallas. Listen, Luka has re-energized this squad. He had a tremendous game in his return, but prior to that, did you see Jalen Brunson? Do you see Dorian Finney-Smith? This, to me, is a team, to Alan's point earlier, that has tremendous connectivity. They play for one another. And Jason Kidd said from the jump, they don't believe that the Jazz can make enough two-point baskets to beat them, and that's proven true.
I still love you, Monica. And I say that every single day because that's the name of my wife as well. So Monica McNutt, Alan Hunter. Later on this hour as I try to recover. Tomorrow night we'll have game six of the Western Conference first round matchup. John, the Grizzlies, they take on the Timberwolves. Grizzlies up 3-2 looking to close out the series. Our coverage begins 9 Eastern on ESPN and the app. Great segue to the pancakes, El.
Set them down is a keeper. That is a Tuesday staple.
Get some of this. Get some of that. Throw them out the club. Swagoo, throw them out the club. You see them? One pancake, two pancakes, three pancakes. Ooh.
Oh, yeah. And there it is. Hard to believe that the man before you ever ate pancakes, as skinny as he is. But Jeff Saturday is our resident. You ready? Is our
ready.
Resident offensive lineman. Hey!
Oh, nice!
This is, I got skills to catch pancakes.
Hey, we ain't low carbon. We just saw what Monica did to Kev. We're about to see some offensive linemen put some people on their back. Some guys you'll probably see tonight getting drafted. They're going to make immediate impact for their squads.
Let's We're gonna go! Start
Tyler Linderbaum, Iowa center, right here. Watch him get to the second level. This is what he does so well. Why would he fit in a place like Dallas, a good zone type team? Because he finishes at the second level. Look at the hands and the foot drop. Watch him right here. My favorite part, 42 is crying for a flag. What a baby. Get up and say, hey, I got dominated. Don't be crying down there, 42. You got put on your back. That's what, but it's only one pancake, y'all, because it's a little man. Now we're going to get into the big
boys. A short stack.
Exactly. Zion Johnson right here, Boston College. Watch this play. This is an NFL play. The linebacker triggers to try to take off the double team. Look at him reset his feet. L, look at the finish right here. This man takes a man at full stop, drives him and runs his feet, and puts him in the ground. Damian Woody looking like right here, in my opinion. I love the way this kid plays. Again, Dallas Cowboys, this is the guy on the radar. Two pancakes because it was a double. Started in and then finished. And then Tyler Smith right here, Tulsa. Look at this. Oh, my. You just take a man against his will and literally plant him on his back. This thing is a thing of beauty. My favorite part, watch the knee drive. This is like WWE, y'all. Finish on him.
You're down.
Finish on my baby. That's what I'm talking about, dude. Hey, he just insults him. You put him down. You dominate him. Three pancakes for that finish when you put your knees on his chest, just looking down at him. You don't want to play anymore, little man. That's what I'm talking about right there. Three great players, three great plays.
I am so fired up. I've also just discovered that pancakes without syrup are trash. Thank you so much, Jeff Saturday, for the pancakes.
Love it.
I'm still eating it, though, Kevin.
Enjoy it, please. Trust me, that's one pancake that's actually tasty. Coming up, is this the day the Baker Mayfield saga will finally end in Cleveland? Where could he go, and is he better than any of the quarterbacks in this draft? But first, a little draft day trivia from Sneaky Hembo. Roz, you ready?
I don't know.
Which college has produced the most quarterbacks drafted number one overall? Your attitude's been fantastic this morning so far.
Thank you.
Start your mornings with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Every weekday at 6 a.m. Eastern, they answer the pressing questions around the sports world.
Let's talk about Steph's legacy.
They're going to probably draft an explosive guy.
And deliver their hot takes on breaking news and new developments.
The Lakers are one of the worst jobs in the NBA.
Tune in every weekday at 6 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
We're back on Get Up before the break. Sneaky Hembo time. We asked you which college has produced the most quarterbacks drafted number one overall. Dan Graziano, what you got?
See, I'm worried about this since 1936. And Hembo texted me. He said, make sure, like, it's not common draft era. It's all time.
Okay.
I don't know much about the 1936 draft.
Shockingly.
Best I can do, somebody suggested Oklahoma, which is a good guess.
That was me.
I believe it's going to be Stanford, John Elway, Andrew Luck, etc.
Let's reveal.
Wow.
Stanford!
1936, who was that? Who was picked in 1936?
I have absolutely no
Me,
idea. John Elway, Jim Plunkett, Bobby Garrett, and Andrew Luck were your four.
Maybe it's
so
Bobby Garrett.
Dan Graziano right now, dare I say, sort of smoking Hembo in the season series. 12 wins
dominate.
To Hembo's
yeah.
8. You've got some work to do, Hembo. You need to make it a little bit tougher. Apparently it's not hard enough. With that, Grazman, you ready for some more? We're going to run the hurry up with Dan Graziano, and we're going to start with Kyler Murray.
Kyler Murray, the Arizona Cardinals picked up Kyler Murray's fifth-year option yesterday. This was not a surprise. It guarantees Kyler about $27 million. In 2023, he was already under contract for this year. They still, obviously, both sides hope at some point to get a long-term deal done, as Kyler's agent has made clear on multiple occasions. We got the Jaguars. Did a little bit of an under-the-radar move. They signed their left tackle, Cam Robinson, to an extension. You know, these offensive lineman moves, Jeff Saturday, they don't get a lot of headlines. But
Thank you.
Caught people's attention because it's another indication that maybe Jacksonville's thinking about going defense with the number one pick tonight rather than offensive tackle. Don't know for sure that that's true, but there's a lot of people around the league that are taking it that way. And then the Baker Mayfield situation remains unresolved. He wants out. They have Deshaun Watson. They have a guaranteed $18.858 million that they owe him for this year, and that is making it difficult to trade him because teams don't want to take on all that money, especially when they know how desperate the Browns are to move him. Could he get moved this weekend during the NFL draft? Absolutely, but I don't think it's going to be as easy as he and the Browns wish it were.
All right, back with Graz and Jeff and, of course, Tim Hasselbeck at home. So when you talk about the situation, they lose the leverage, the Browns.
Yeah.
How motivated tonight or the next 3 days to get some type of compensation and compared to the idea of just releasing the player later on?
They don't want to release him because the money's guaranteed.
Yeah.
So they got to pay it anyway. So I think at some point it becomes an issue of whether the Browns and the acquiring team, whoever that may be, can structure a deal where maybe Cleveland pays part of that salary, maybe Cleveland adds a draft pick to the deal to sweeten it for the acquiring team. But those things can take time. And if teams are playing hardball with Cleveland, and we're looking at, you know, we mentioned this earlier, Seattle, Carolina, maybe Atlanta, teams that aren't 100% sure on quarterback. If teams are playing hardball with Cleveland, Cleveland can wait. It's not as if Baker Mayfield is in the facility right now making trouble. So we'll see what happens as this goes along. But, yeah, if somebody gives them something of value, I could see it happening this weekend.
I got to jump in here, though, Tim, because it's not exactly like anybody's been enamored with this quarterback draft class. Are you trying to tell me that Baker's not a better option than at least what they currently have waiting for them tonight?
Well, no, Elle, I think you're right. Like, Baker Mayfield in 2022 is a better option if you have to play a quarterback than any of these guys that are coming out in this year's draft. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any question about that. The difference is exactly what Dan, has been outlining, which is none of these quarterbacks in this year's draft are going to sign a one-year $19 million deal. I mean, so that's really what it comes down to. It's about the compensation and the fact that you would have him for 1 year. And so, you know, I think I believe he's getting released, or again, what Dan outlined, which would be, all right, the Browns pay some of it and, you know, his salary, and then the acquiring team, you know, doesn't absorb the full $19 million roughly that Baker's owed this year.
Baker takes his motto. He's always got to prove that all the doubters are out there. Yeah. He's gonna shut him up. Is he still a starter in the NFL in your mind? Good enough to be one?
He is. I think he's one of the best 32. So I think he's definitely a starter. My question would be when you talk about, like, what does he have to prove that you can win because of him? Like, I think that's the knock on him at Cleveland, right? As you put this good football team around, I know he played injured last season, but are you going to win games because Baker Mayfield is your starter? So when you talk about Seattle or Carolina or even Atlanta for that matter, it's how much are you willing to give up to really see if he is that guy that can take you? Because not only will it be this season, don't forget, when it's over, you got to sign him to a long-term deal. So there has to be, yeah, potentially, right? So you have some other things for the future of your franchise if he comes in and plays well. So it's a very complicated situation, and the Browns did themselves no favors by not trading him before the Deshaun Watson situation. They've done it to themselves. Mm-hmm. Now they're just having to bear this out. But from Baker's point of view, he has to prove that you win because of him.
Let me ask you this. Is the Jimmy Garoppolo market potentially cannibalizing what would be happening with Baker, Dan? Because you have two quarterbacks in similar situations coming off surgery, only to Jimmy G's part, he's at least been there before Baker's
not. Yeah, and he may be more appealing to some teams than Baker eventually. The problem is he had surgery on his throwing shoulder right after the season. Hasn't thrown yet. Isn't supposed to throw until late June, early July. So teams don't want to make a move for him until they see him healthy. And the Niners don't just want to dump him. So they're willing to hold on to him and see if someone's quarterback situation changes. Maybe somebody gets hurt. Maybe somebody gets to camp and realizes, you know, Seattle realizes Drew Lock isn't what, you know, what they thought he'd be. That could move the market on these guys. And that may be another reason why Cleveland waits.
And we could see quarterback situations change by the end of tonight, right? When we talk about the first round, which teams like the Lions, like the Steelers, like the Panthers looking for quarterbacks. Let's count down to the draft here, Tim. And let's focus on the quarterbacks tonight and go through some quick reads, starting with Malik Willis.
And Malik Willis, I think by most accounts, you know, people view him as, you know, the most talented player in this draft in terms of explosiveness, in terms of, you know, what he maybe projects to be. You know, I've said he's an A-plus runner and he has an A arm. Now, the issue ends up being what kind of passer can he develop into, because he gets a little erratic. You know, his feet kind of get fast at times. And so that, I think, ends up being, you know, really the long-term story for Malik Willis is what will he be as a passer eventually? You know, for Kenny Pickett, you know, this one's interesting for me because he had a tremendous year last year, but he's older than every quarterback that was drafted last year in the first round. He's essentially been a pro playing in college football for the last 2 years, and he was playing with good players in a down ACC, you know, year. And so I think Kenny Pickett's the most ready right now. The question ends up being is how much better is he going to get, because his physical tools don't necessarily tell you that he's a first-round draft pick. And then another interesting one, Kevin, is Desmond Ridder. Mm-hmm. He's a guy that has all the tools, kind of the building block and the experience that you would like in terms of what he was able to do in college and the culture that's kind of been created there at Cincinnati was a big part of it. And he's big, he's athletic, he's got a good arm. And I think similar thing. How is he developing as a consistent passer? Because so many of the other elements of his game really do check the boxes.
It'll be interesting to see, does a team try to move up on the back end of the first round to get that fifth-year option with a quarterback, right? And when it comes to this rookie conversation, because when you look at Mel Kiper's big board, he has two quarterbacks, as you mentioned, going in the first round of his final mock. 19, Kenny Pickett going to the Saints. Mm. New Orleans hasn't taken a first-round quarterback since Archie Manning. Ooh, yeah, Peyton Eli's dad in 1971. The next pick, the Steelers taking Malik Willis. Pittsburgh has only taken a quarterback once in the first round in the last 40 drafts, and that was Ben Roethlisberger in 2004, who just retired. Reminder, the draft tonight will have every pick once again on ESPN, along with our usual expert analysis, also available on the NFL Network and ABC's coverage focusing on the prospect's journey to the draft. Our first round coverage begins tonight, 8 Eastern, with all 3 days also on ESPN Deportes.
All right, Kev, coming up on this draft day, is this finally the day that Debo is done in San Francisco? Score one for the alliteration. Will he be traded? We've got the latest when we come back.